Welcome to the show. Radio. Welcome.
Now he's not present. Tonight we have John on the air, and Don will be calling in shortly. I did listen to as much of the State of the Union address I could before the show started, and I also watched three or four videos on Chinese surveillance balloons, which I'll get to secondly. I felt like there was a certain enthusiasm at the State of the Union, even though, it is a new election cycle and the Republicans have just won back the House. I found Senator McCarthy to be respectful and engaging to the opposite party. Mitch McConnell refused to stand he refused to stand up when Biden recognized him as the oldest member serving in the Senate. Bernie Sanders had a mask on and look kind of frumpish, but I was just going to read some of the highlights that I wrote down from the, of course, it's kind of like a high school pep fest where they're always, his main theme was that more is yet to come. We're just beginning. We're just getting started. There's so many possibilities with technology, including starting up small and medium businesses, bringing back manufacturing, increasing manufacturing and exporting, not always being the recipient of that. And I felt like it was like a pep fest. It's all about enthusiasm and showing support for our government. And no matter who's in office, that's always kind of the atmosphere for the State of the Union address. Biden claims that 12 million new jobs have been created in the last year or two, and it's a record. There has also been 800,000 manufacturing jobs created. He has sent several bipartisan bills through. One was a bipartisan chip bill. It's called Chips and Science Act, and I guess it's trying to make technology, you know, reduce the size of certain chips so they can be more efficient. He mentioned that he helped with the Victim Burn Act of helping victims who get burned from toxic pits. He mentioned the Electoral Count Reform Act. He mentioned the bipartisan infrastructure bill that went through right when he took office. It was the largest since Eisenhower, and it's being worked on around the country and improving our infrastructure. He said that the manufacturing element, it's not just about creating products, but exporting them and also creating jobs to export more products. In other words, we would be a base nation to do that, not always just the recipient. I guess they learned from the shipping container disaster after COVID that we can't always depend on other countries for products. We should be making our own. He also mentioned that unemployment was at its all-time low in 50 years, 3.4%. But overall, it has been pretty good. It's been pretty good under Obama and Trump. And the only time it was disrupted is for COVID. So the unemployment rate has been very good for years. Even in Duluth here with a population of 85,000, we have 4,000 open jobs. In every company I work for, I have 4 jobs right now. They all need people, and they're all asking people to work extra hours. Okay, with that, I'm going to pull John in, but I'm debating whether to pull John in first or play this Chinese surveillance balloon video, so I think I'll play it after Don gets on the air. Here's John. Hi, John. How are you today?
Hello, Jane of the Union. I'm doing great.
Well, this is the one time where I feel that, you know, when you watch the State of the Union, you kind of feel good about our country. Like, there hasn't really been anything like 9/11 happened, but there has been, of course, mass murders along the way. But it's the one moment out of the year you can kind of feel positive, even if it's all, you know, like fake fodder and positive reinforcement. It still kind of gives people some form of happiness. What do you think?
Well, it's like a pep rally, and you definitely want the country to succeed. I think, though, we're running into an area where it's like the Titanic. You know, everyone's saying things are good. Look, we got some music playing. You know, we got a great ship. Look at the lights and all this beautiful furniture. But we're sinking. So the goal is just to keep everyone calm. And I think his goal is to live with the elite. Like, they're not that worried. They're going to live in very nice houses, and they have their money. They have guaranteed salaries. They have millions in the bank. Why should they care? They have to keep us calm. If we panic and revolt, then they're in trouble.
I agree. I know that with you being a Republican, there's a certain element of cynicism, but even though Joe Biden was a little rocky with his beginning jokes, you know, a little stiff, what's there, now you're going to laugh in my face, but what's there not to like about him?
Well, there's a few things. Basically, it depends. If you like the New World Order, he's perfect. He's great. You know, we're lined up with NATO, and we've set up kind of a front against China and Russia. And we're at, I don't know if you saw that they moved the doomsday clock to the closest it's ever been. We're actually, you know, you think about it, we're fired something at China. Now, granted, it was just a balloon, but understand, China put something over our airspace and we shot it out of the sky. That, you know, in other words, you know how sometimes people play around and you know,
they interfered with our territorial air, but I heard China has sent balloons over 5 different parts of the world, including Costa Rica.
Right. They especially over military installations, they're mapping things out. So imagine like when two people are joking around and someone insults them and they insult them back, and then someone kind of, you know, hits them on the shoulder, and then the other one kind of punches them back, and then pretty soon they're throwing each other to the ground and wailing on each other. Right now we're just kind of bluffing and kind of just slapping around, and you know, it's no big deal. But
I do have a question though. John's on the air. I'm going to pull him in a second, and then I'll play the video shortly. But why would they, in this case, they've been doing it for years. People have not noticed a lot of times. And, I mean, you know, people notice here and there, but they don't really know what it is until it was brought to their attention. But why are they doing something so visible, so obvious? It's not like it's a secretive drone that nobody could map out.
Well, you know, it's interesting. They did it 3 times during Trump's administration. I would love to hear what they knew about it and why they didn't do anything or mention it. And if it's the same kind of balloon, it's happened earlier with Biden. It's happened in 4 or 5 other countries. But the thing about these is you have to realize there's a far deeper thing to this. Well, first of all, they don't do it just for no reason. They can get very more detailed information on how our military bases are, where they route things, where they're lined up with. It's very important. But here's the thing. You can put an EMP on there, electronic magnetic pulse, a nuke, and knock out the power grids all over the place, including, you know, for the military. I'm sure they have some backup.
Yeah, when they took it down in the Carolinas, they were looking for some type of weaponry that was going to be implemented.
Same thing, you can put chemical warfare, bio-warfare weapons in there. You can do all kinds of stuff that's, you know, nefarious. And we're not in an innocent, naive era. I know you've probably seen something I've posted on the AI with the robotic soldiers. This isn't something that's coming. It's here. These are like Terminators. And they have what's called also with AI, they have where it chats for you. Like you want to write an essay, the AI will write it for you. You know, we have deep fake where you could do a whole video where you've got Arnold Schwarzenegger's face and voice, but it's you talking, right? They can do all kinds of stuff.
That's
we're in
cool.
a dangerous – yeah, because recently you don't know if you're real or not. You don't know if you try to voice something like, oh, I don't like the way the government's going. Well, they just censor it, delete it, or alter it. So where you're saying, yeah, I love the government, you know, let's bomb Russia – they can do all kinds of stuff. This is misinformation.
Well, I don't, you know, when I said in the beginning of the show that I felt enthusiastic, it was because he was laying out all the possibilities of what we could accomplish over the next 5 or 10 years. Now, obviously, there's always a cynicism that comes with everything else. For example, when we were using drones in the Middle East and we killed several wedding parties in Afghanistan and Yemen, like, you're right, our country is no more innocent. But a spy technique in the form of a balloon is very obvious, and with that I'll pull Don in. Good evening, Don.
Hello, guys. Hello, Joe. John. Hello, everybody.
Have a situation I want to bring up very briefly that Pianki will send us 15 to 20 videos a week, but now he's not calling the show. Now, I'm a very busy person, and I don't want people sending me videos every day if they're not going to be part of the show. So I told him, if you're not going to call in, then don't send the videos. I'm just letting you guys know. If you can keep getting them from him, but I'm going to not use that cell phone access. In other words, I'm going to block him.
Well, you don't need to block him.
Well, then I'm going to get three or four videos a day that I'm never going to watch because I'm busy I do my show prep an hour before the show. I don't have unlimited amounts of time.
Send them to John. He's not busy building new buildings and roads and stuff.
And you don't have to watch
You missed
them.
Our intro about the State of the Union address. I already verbalized all the highlights that Biden thought they were accomplishing. With that, John had a lot of interesting things to say. I'm going to segue to this video on Chinese spy balloons, why they still use them. And then I'll let you both mutually comment. You guys have all the time in the role. Sorry. You have all the time in the world to come, and it's just us three. Okay, here we go.
The U.S. just shot down that Chinese spy balloon over the Atlantic Ocean. And you might be asking yourself, wait, the what? It sounds like something from the last century, but there's actually a reason countries still use high-altitude surveillance balloons even in the era of satellites. The one spotted over Billings, Montana in February 2023 was carrying surveillance equipment and was reportedly the size of three city buses. When it was shot down, it was flying at an altitude of about 60,000 feet, but was likely capable of reaching the stratosphere, between 80 and 120,000 feet. That's above where fighter and commercial aircraft fly, helping it avoid detection. But it's still in the Earth's atmosphere, so unlike a satellite, the balloon stays in sync with Earth's rotation, which means it can observe one area over a long period of time. Plus, being closer to the ground than a satellite means higher resolution images. And maybe most importantly, balloons are cheap. So when this happens, it's not as big of a deal as losing an expensive satellite. The U.S. just shot down that Chinese spy balloon over the Atlantic Ocean. And you might be asking yourself, wait, the what? It sounds like something from the last century, but there's actually a reason countries still use high-altitude surveillance balloons even in the era of satellites. The one spotted over Billings, Montana in February 2023 was carrying surveillance equipment and was reportedly the size of three city buses. When it was shot...
Okay, now it's repeating itself. So, John, that's what I was kind of getting at. It just seems like a very visible, obvious type of thing. Like, it doesn't seem concealed or sneaky. You guys can continue to comment.
Well, just the fact that they're doing it, and, of course, everything's obvious. We have satellite technology. They have satellite technology. You know, we both spy on each other. Everyone knows it. But the point is, it's like, you know, sneaking into your backyard and looking through your window. It's like, why are you there? Why are you doing it? Why are you getting this information? Why don't we send a balloon over to their place? Why don't we send 20 or 100? Because it brings in the next one. You don't know, does it have an EMP? Does it have bioweapons, viruses, or chemicals? What if it has all kinds of different poisons? And then do you shoot it? Well, if you shoot it, then you set off a nuke right over your own, you know, base where maybe your power goes out, or at least certainly hundreds of thousands of people. And so this is a very dangerous game. And you may say, well, why are they doing it out in the open? Because they're not afraid of us, because they can do it. They're just testing to see what are we going to do, and, you know, go ahead and punch the bear and see what happens. And we're weak. We're not doing anything. We're like, okay, just let it slide. They're going to go to a point. We think, well, we will never go to a nuclear because it's us versus China or us versus Russia. We can take them. What if Russia and China launch nukes on us? What if they have their superior technology with defense or with new technology we don't know about? What are we going to do? That's a situation where we may freeze. We may lock up. They have these new missiles that shoot through our defense system, and we haven't figured it all out yet. And so, yeah, this is a very dangerous game, and we shouldn't play around with it at all. We should be very strong about it and very adamant. They're going to start making big moves. But the thing is, Russia and China are working together. They doubled or tripled their trade. So they can't trade with other countries. So they're trading with Iran. They're trading with China. And Russia's going to actually have a positive – they're not going to lose money this year. They actually have positive GDP. And because, you know, they've opened up this whole market, all our sanctions, like eight or nine sanctions, hasn't stopped them. It's hurt them. It hasn't stopped them. And they're going to keep going. Putin is KGB. He's ready to, you know, to fight. You know, China's been around for 10,000 years. We're a 250-year experiment, and we're on decline.
That's a good point. Another thing I liked about the video is they said that each, like us and China, have satellites above 80,000 feet, you know, not visible to commercial airlines, and they can do more extensive spying in those type of venues, not in a big giant balloon floating along the earth. Don, what's your comment?
On exactly what? Because for the most part, I'm not sure. All right. What was John's point?
Why doesn't John tell you, or why don't you listen better?
Well, that's my main point is this isn't something to fool around with. This isn't something to say this is a casual game. It's the art of war. They are prepping us.
It's no big deal. We've had three balloons in 19 and 21. They're weather balloons that are uniform. We've got the same type of weather balloon. And nobody around the world, you know, has seen it or has complained about it if they have. This is just a regular, normal situation that we just all of a sudden made into this huge issue because we got nothing else to talk about. Right now, you know,
We have the State of the Union address. We have...
No, not us.
We could talk about budgetary problems.
I'm talking about the countries.
Well, the reason why the balloons are a big story is because people aren't familiar with them. They're large and obvious. It seems intrusive. And sometimes Americans are in their own little bubble and they don't pay attention unless something like this happens.
Well, we let a balloon go all the way across the country. What good was anything talking about it? What good is talking about it? It went across the country. It got any information that it could transfer if it was capable of doing that. And, you know, that shooting it down means that we had to go clean it up. So, yeah, I don't know.
Somebody from... When the Navy SEALs or whatever took the balloon down and all its parts in that ship, someone had surveillance camera like a private citizen radio and recorded it all. I just didn't have time to listen to it or play it.
Imagine if the Chinese were telling the truth and it was a runaway balloon. And the other thing is that information, if it's not transferable, it's on the hard drive. And so we'll find out if it was actually a spy plane or not. I think that some of that it's absolutely a spy balloon is conjecture for now. I don't think you can't jump to conclusions. We've seen what happens with that for the last 15, 20 years where everybody jumps to conclusions. So just sit back, relax, you know, sip a Coke, take a snort of Coke, and then drink some Coke, and then you'll be, you know, be able to figure it out when they come out with it. But it's a whole, I mean, it's dominated the news, and the Chinese have done far worse.
There's really not much information about it. I watched 3 to 5 videos, and none of it was very poignant. Like, it didn't give any over-the-top information.
Yet it dominated yesterday and today's news.
Well, if it wasn't that important, why did they demand that we return the remains to them? Why did they lie and say it's just a weather balloon when it wasn't? It was a surveillance.
Because
I do think it's important, John. I'm just saying there wasn't that much information about it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's very high resolution, and again, it doesn't just pass by. It sits there, and it gets a much, much better images. I mean, when you're in military, information is paramount. It's the most important thing, right? If you're going into a blind situation, you don't know what to do. If you know exactly your opponent, what they have, where they have it, how they move, their cycles, all that stuff, and then you also have the technology where you're monitoring. Remember all these cameras that they were using and drones? And even TikTok, they were concerned that this information is owned by the Chinese government. The companies that have these things, they are subservient. So when the government says, we want all your information, they give it to them. They just pony it over. You don't think that's important? You don't think that someone who is dedicated to destroying and wiping you out or taking over the world, would you want them to have cameras in your house watching you leave like a thief that wants to rip you out?
The Chinese have done a lot of things over the Pacific Ocean, too, that people aren't even aware of. People aren't even aware that China's an actual enemy.
Would you put your social security on right now? Give us your social security number, or how about your bank account numbers?
John, stop! Fucking stop! Stop being scared. Our information is already accessible everywhere. Because we voluntarily gave it away. We voluntarily gave the country away.
Except for you who never goes on the internet.
No, I don't get that, but my bank account still can be found.
Right.
You know, these guys can find anything they want to at any time. And so it's worthless trying to figure out what in the world they're talking about when it's actually, you know, something that is prevalent. It's widely prevalent, widely used, widely stolen, and, you know, in many cases used. So this stuff, you don't need a spy satellite. You've already got Apple and Google and Microsoft.
Right, because they love that Chinese market. Now, wasn't it about two, three years ago we had a president that put hard tariffs on China and was having things made in America and was saying we're not going to get all our stuff from China. And then we had something happen to the whole world, especially us. It started in the United States from Wuhan, from a lab.
It was revenge. It was revenge on the tariffs we put on China.
Right. So when you say, they're not our enemy or it's no big deal, they're dedicated to
killing
us.
No. I'm talking about the balloon. I'm pissed off at the fucking country for dealing with China in the first place. But it wasn't China they were dealing with in the first place. We gave everything to Japan first. In the 70s. We gave everything, every car, every TV, every washing machine was made in Japan.
Because they didn't have an army. they didn't have a defense system.
Yeah, well, then China took over because they do. So,
right. And they have the Belt and Highway thing that they're working on in every country. But here's the thing is that we have a president now who's owned by China.
John. We're fucking pigs. These white boys in the United States are pigs.
John, don't use that lingo on the show. I couldn't even call Mitch McConnell a moron on YouTube.
Well, Obama was half black, half of Obama was black, so he was in on the whole thing.
Right.
Biden was owned by China.
You can't really make a black and white thing about it. We're talking about the Chinese. I'll be like some other host and say, what are you talking about, for God's sake?
Did Hunter Biden fly on Air Force 2 to China?
We ain't scared of nobody. We're not scared. Black people are not scared of anyone, period. Because we're the kings and queens.
Police officers, I know.
Nope.
Not even black police officers.
No. We don't have time to be scared. Life is too freaking rough. We don't have time to be scared. We don't have time to answer any questions. And we don't have time to say yes to shit that should be saying no.
They run away from the police.
Well, it doesn't matter. He's one of our
scared.
They were saying that possibly he was fucking one of the police's wives. So that makes sense. But bottom line is that I don't know. It's just that what is going on, we just have to, as black people, as regular people, have to just sit back and let it play out. Because things aren't going to change overnight. And it's going to take a long time for people to understand that they are not as powerful as they think they are, not even close. And what they've built is falling down around us.
Well, morally, we're collapsing, that's for sure. And it's Black History Month. And part of what they want is to have the transgender history of Black Americans. That's part of the teaching. They want to have drag queens teaching during the month.
Well, that was something we talked about 2 weeks ago on the Ron DeSantis show.
DeSantis, yeah.
So, you guys, I think what's the biggest problem in America is that there's a couple, but first of all, people are out of touch with reality. They don't know how serious certain things are. Like, why are we spending $750 billion on defense? Secondly, our youth know nothing about what our real American problems are. They only know about what's going on in social media and how to glamorize themselves and get ahead socially. And third, people are abandoning churches and moral foundations. However, there is an increase in people attending Celebrate Recovery and going to 12-step meetings to work on their addiction. So in that case, things have gotten better. And there's more funding for people with addictions. Now, that's only from my perspective, which is probably limited. I live in the fourth largest city in Minnesota, but I do think that on a regular level, people are just blindly going about their business, shopping at Walmart, buying their stuff. As long as they can afford their budget, they don't really think about much else.
I don't know. What have I said for the last 10 years is the number one problem in America?
What?
Race.
What's the number one problem, Don?
Race relations.
I don't want to talk about it on every show. I'm talking about a broader perspective.
You don't have to talk about it.
Yes, of course race is a big problem in America. It penetrates the news on a daily basis.
It's not the biggest.
But I don't want to talk about it on every show. There's other things like we could talk about, like, how the economy is laid out now, like how many people work at home versus in an actual physical workplace, how many jobs are, like, desk jobs versus manufacturing jobs. Do we have a sustainable society to support, you know, the natural resources to sustain our future? There's other problems like that.
Well, by the way, speaking of balloons, we have 12 surveillance balloons at the border, but we're going to cut it down to 4. So here are some balloons that we do need. And it's not my opinion, it's the Border Patrol. They said it's very helpful, very useful. We have to be able to track people coming in, over 2 million people. 600,000, over 500,000 got away. Like they didn't, couldn't even apprehend them. They couldn't even get to them.
So you get that piece of information, John? I was just wondering.
It's actually on today on Fox News, actually. And they even have the reporter there. He's talking to the operations Border Patrol person. And they're very upset. They feel like Biden has punched them in the gut, is what the man said. These are the people that work the job. Like, they can't do the job if they don't have the tools to surveil. And what they're going to try to do is have a remote videos. That's what Biden's proposing, is have remote video surveillance. You have a camera looking, but it can't go out and stop the people, you know, from crossing.
Well, that's what I was saying. Whether you have a camera or surveillance, who's going to stop them from trying to cross the border? I mean,
well,
do we have that authority to stop them?
With the balloon, you can float it and move it around. With a camera, it's fixed. So if I know a camera's over at, you know, the corner of First and, you know, Main, oh, then go down
right
to First and San Antonio because there's no camera there. And so that's the problem. And it's
– so people know, so they avoid those intersections?
They study it. That's coming. It keeps moving, right? That's coming. They go over to Texas, and that's coming to certain towns of El Paso or wherever, you know, where people start going, and they go to another crossing area. But here's also where it kind of gets where it connects. AOC did a big old speech just a couple days ago, and she said that in Washington, D.C., they want to legalize where non-citizens can vote in elections. And she was saying how to oppose this is racism and it's you know, this white supremacy and all this stuff. And this is the bigger plan. In the beginning, it's just, oh, we need this or that. But you go downstream, this is the big plan. So you want to say, I want to do something. I want to be president, or I want to pass a bill. And I need support. And say, let's say I'm going to lose an election, and I'm 500,000 votes behind. Well, I'll just let a couple million people who aren't citizens come in, and I promise you I'll make it easy for you to come in, and you all get guaranteed insurance and jobs and minimum wage, and vote for me. Think, oh, hey, I got 2 million votes now, this last year. And AOC was just you know, wailing on this whole thing that Republicans are going to shoot this down. Do you think that someone that isn't a citizen should just walk in and start voting and deciding how money and how our government's going to be run?
No.
Yes. The thing is that Washington, D.C. is a D.C., so it's not a real state. And it can essentially do or say anything it wants to. That's why AOC has relegated this just to D.C., so,
she
was also bitching this week because the Republicans voted to take Ilhan Omar off a Foreign Relations Committee because of her comments like 4 to 5 years ago on Israel.
Right. And so that was something that they should have vetted. You know, that's why I'm saying that this is all, everything can be avoided. This is our fault bringing our own bullshit against ourselves. We didn't vet Omar well enough to know that before we gave her the appointment, committee appointment, that she had said this.
I think, well, part of the reason she made those comments, and I have a few friends who are extremely anti. Can you wait a second, Don? I'm agreeing with you.
Okay.
You don't have to get argumentative. I'm trying to comment on your comment.
No problem. Go ahead.
So the thing is that I know people who are, they don't believe in big defense spending, first of all. They don't, whether they're Christian or Muslim or whatever, they don't like supporting Israel wholeheartedly like a lot of conservatives do, because Israel is very tough on their neighbors. And no two-state solution has been solved or creative, and there's many reasons for that. But part of it is because the Bible says that Israel is entitled to the land. The thing is the comments she made weren't that Israel completely sucks. It's just that she doesn't agree with that style of funding at that level. And I'd have to go back 5 years and look at what her comments were, but because she's an obvious female Muslim in the Congress, you know, some people don't trust her, basically.
Well, yeah, and partly because it's documented, she married her brother to get into the country, and they've never.
Well, some people don't believe that, even though it might be true.
Well, if you just look at the records, I mean, the names, it's her brother. It's a family, you know, some relative of hers, and that's how she got in the country. No one will touch it because she goes, oh, I'm a woman, I'm a minority, and I'm Muslim, and you're persecuting me. And we all just back up, oh, like, we can't touch this. But the point is she just skating along. And the thing is that this whole situation, we're letting people who aren't citizens, who aren't legitimate Americans, make the decisions and make the rules. And we're paying their salary. And they're just loving it. I mean, they don't love America. They have no problem with just, you know, basically. Go ahead.
I guess the reason she got elected to begin with is because she must have gave good speeches. Because part of the district that she was elected from was a huge Jewish district where the Cohen brothers grew up. She supposedly supported a new resolution recognizing Israel as America's legitimate ally and condemning anti-Semitism. So she did vote to do that.
Well, she had to. She had to. They were going to throw her out. I mean,
they did already.
Well, I'm talking about beyond that. I mean, actually going for her with charges for basically fraud. And it's died. No one's ever pushed it through. And she's very well protected. But you have very liberal people. And, like, look at the University of Michigan. They want the campus, they want no police. They want paid abortions. They want free, you know, health care, everything, and they demand it. And they want, you know, programs for trans, for to continue their hormone therapy. And, like, everyone else pay for their
decisions. A lot of those programs are being questioned. Now there's only a few states that publicly fund abortions anymore.
Well, that's what the school demanded, the school union. They were demanding the
By the way,
union.
Can
they
I interrupt? A minute to just read one sentence. It's a okay. So Omar, who voted for the resolution to, you know, respect Israel as our ally, she infuriated Democrats and Republicans in 2019 after tweeting that the American Israel Public Affairs Committee and other Jewish donors were paying politicians to back Israel, saying it's all about the Benjamin's baby. Later, she apologized, saying she never meant to offend my constituents or Jewish Americans as a whole. Well, of course Jewish donors are going to donate to support Israel. Why wouldn't they? You know what I mean? So I wanted you guys to listen to this clip. Okay, it'll just be, it's less than 5 minutes. Just a second. It's going to start in 10 seconds after this dumb ad.
Once I was able to use Dexcom, I could simply monitor on my phone, and I didn't have to prick.
I'm not relying on a finger stick.
We get to have, we have to have to be counted as Americans. This is what this debate is about, Madam Speaker. There is this idea that you are a suspect if you are an immigrant, or if you are from certain parts of the world, or a certain skin tone, or a Muslim. It is no accident that members of the Republican Party accused the first black president, Barack Obama, of being a secret Muslim. It is no accident that former President Donald Trump led a birther movement that falsely claimed he was born in Kenya. Because to them, falsely labeling the first and only president of the United States of America, a Muslim, an African immigrant, somehow made him less American. Well, I am Muslim. I am an immigrant, and interestingly, from Africa. Is anyone surprised that I am being targeted? Is anyone surprised that I am somehow deemed unworthy to speak about American foreign policy, or that they see me as a powerful voice that needs to be silenced? Frankly, it is expected, because when you push power, power pushes back. Representation matters. Continuing to expand our ideas of who is American and who can partake in the American experiment is a good thing. I am an American. An American who was sent here. An American who was sent here by her constituents to represent them in Congress. A refugee who survived the horrors of a civil war. Someone who spent her childhood in a refugee camp. Someone who knows what it means to have a shot at a better life here in the United States, and someone who believes in the American dream and the American possibility and the promise and the ability to participate in the democratic process.
She's commenting on why she's rebutting why she was ousted from the committee. So that's why she was making that speech. What do you guys think of that?
Well, her speech was pretty fiery, and in a lot of ways it was true, but it still didn't acknowledge that she had that she actually made that statement, and she didn't really give a real reason for.
Well, she made the statement 4 years ago in 2019, but see, now that the Republicans are in power, they can do that, just like the Democrats try to strip Marjorie Taylor Greene from all committee assignments. So politics is, you know, the thread line in all of this. They don't approve of her.
This is going to be ugly for you.
Now, I found that McCarthy guy to be appealing at the he didn't talk or anything, but he seemed pretty congenial at the State of the Union address. And he doesn't even have a consensus among his own party.
That's why he was congenial. Or else he would end up doing like Pelosi and tearing up the speech in front of everyone. Remember when Nancy
somebody
did that?
At work mentioned that today. That was pretty radical. But she did that when Trump gave the speech.
Okay.
She did that a few years ago.
I don't care.
What do you think about what Pelosi did a few years ago on national TV?
It was a disgrace. She showed just how trashy she is.
Nancy Pelosi is an accomplished woman.
She's Okay.
You know, you're in the Democratic Party of Washoe County, or however you say it.
Yeah,
John, what do you think?
Right.
What do you think of Pelosi ripping up Trump's, was it Trump's speech a couple of years ago?
Yeah, well, you know, she's worth over $100 million. So, her and her husband make a lot of money off of their investments. And the Republicans, if you noted a couple of weeks ago, they wanted to put in a new law where politicians can't make investments based off of how they vote. And she's done
it
for
years. Are you
basically
saying she's so rich that she's untouchable and can do what she wants?
Basically. I mean, how in the world did they make like $175,000 a year or something like that? So just do the math. Do that for, about 10 years, you might have, $1.7 million. Do it for 20 years, you got $3.4 million. Do that for 30 years, you got,
They
five
all do,
something
not
euros.
Just her.
She has over 100 million. So where did that money come from? Well, they made really good investments.
Well, her husband was almost killed last year, so they haven't had it all good.
Well, they missed her, unfortunately, by a few days, but you can't have it all, But the thing about it is that it's too late. They've spent the last 40 years milking the system, or I think in her case, 30 years. And she made many key votes years ago that they made investments on. And she would know in advance what she's going to do. They would invest certain ways, and then she would cast her vote, and it would favor how she invested or her husband. They usually have family members or their spouses do the investment. It goes through the back door. And that's how all of them work. There's very few that are untouchable. Very few, just a handful. But, probably 70, 80. They're just all on the take. That's why they're there, for decades, making millions. And then they do the book deal too, right? Ilhan has a book deal coming out too. And, her and Tlaib, I don't know if you know, but Tlaib has a map of Israel, and it doesn't have the name Israel. It has Palestine on it.
Are you talking about the lady from Michigan, Tlaib?
Yeah, it's
or
the
are you
squad,
talking about somebody
right?
else?
AOC, Ilhan, Tlaib, and then there's a sister in the group too, right? And so they have the same basic mindset. That they move in the same circle. And basically Tlaib is like, we'll never recognize Israel for who it is. It's Palestine to her. They want the elimination of Israel. And Ilhan's with that same type of vibe. That's because she doesn't like it.
Well,
she has to cater to it.
I dated a Muslim in 2010 and 2011, and one time I had a pro-Israel T-shirt on, and he made me take it off and change my outfit.
Can a true Muslim?
He was from Tajikistan. He was that actor I dated who ended up producing a movie in Hollywood, and he starred in it, and Dante the comic financed his movie. I mean, he was Americanized in a lot of ways, but he still had negative views of Israel.
Well, that's because he's a true Muslim. A Muslim means, from Islam, it means submission. You have to submit to
because they don't believe
Allah.
It all goes back to the battle. We don't have to bring up the whole. The Muslims believe that Ishmael, the illegitimate son of the maid, was the rightful inheritor of the father of Abraham, the tribes. So
technically, he was the firstborn from the handmaid, Hagar, correct?
Right, and so they believe that they believe that Israel represents something that they should have had. Now, on a flatline basis, like, I do think on a political basis, I think if Palestine has been around for years, the country, It was the Philistines were the Palestinians in the Bible, but it would be easier politically to have a two-state system. I mean, Israel is very brutal to all Palestinians, and of course, there's been people from Palestine that also kills Israel. It's an unsolvable problem, basically.
Well,
at least in
Israel,
but the main
is in a little corner of the world.
Is that Israel doesn't exist? Israel is Palestine. That's the problem. There are so many Palestinians and some Jews who acknowledge that accessed land in the 1920s that they now call Israel what isn't supposed to be. That's not the real country. It is Palestine. So that's what a lot of people
believe. Except Jerusalem and all those areas used to be Israel further back. Now here's the problem.
Israel
is just this little state, this little country, right? This little 12 miles of whatever in the whole Middle East. And you've got the whole Middle East with I don't know, 12, 13 other countries, Iran, Iraq, you know, Saudi Arabia, Libya. You just go all over that area and plenty of places for Muslims to live. So they want that one little spot that Israel has, that one little thing. That's all they've got. And here's the difference. Jews don't go across the world saying, convert to Judaism or we'll behead you. When you live in a country that is more than 50% Muslim and it's run by the caliphate, you're in trouble. If you're not converted, you're going to die. You're going to be suppressed. You get out of run for your life. So that's the difference. If Ilhan Omar is really a pure Muslim, then what she wants is the United States to be taken down, dismantled, and run over by, basically by Allah's people. And they believe that they can lie and that the end will justify its means. They can pretend to be your friend and then kill you later, and it's accepted in the religion. It's an acceptable deed. So that's the problem you have with Tlaib and Ilhan and all these other people. It doesn't matter what they say. The end game, at the end of it all, is they want to eliminate us. They want to eliminate Jews. That's the goal. That's the plan.
John, did you know some Palestinians are Christians?
There's Christians everywhere. There's Christians in Iran, too. But you have to be quiet about it.
The Palestinians are not necessarily a warmongering people. As I said, that used to be, that land was called Palestine. So, it was just annexed. Now it's 100 years ago, but it never was really called Israel. It was Assyria. So we're talking the Mame Israel, and I see where I was talking about in Khalid that Palestine. Palestinians and a lot of other people around the world still think that Palestine was Palestine. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Well, but here's the thing. The United States used to be other people living here, but it's the United States now. The Roman Empire used to be all over the world. They're not. Italians don't run around going, oh, we own the Roman Empire. Well, what about the British Empire? The sun never set on it. You don't go back and go, oh, hey, this all, America belongs to the British, all these colonies. So how can you, with Palestine, go back and say, okay, it used to be, well, go back a little further, it used to be Israel. Go back a little further, it used to be other people. It doesn't matter. Israel's there now. They're trying to survive. And they're compatible with other people. What's going to happen?
It's all part of the prophecy.
What happens when Palestine, the population outnumbers Jews? and they move over to the other side, or they want the other side, then what's going to happen? I mean, do you think they're going to be peaceful?
That's what I keep talking about, natural occurrences, natural evolution. Let's say the same thing happening in America. There's going to be a civil war if the current corporate leadership doesn't share its plans, schematics, goals, processes with everybody else. That's why this immigration thing is so important for Americans, and they don't even see it because they're so privileged. That, you know, they don't understand, you know, the same thing is happening all over the country, all over the world. You know, a lot of the, a lot of the countries need workers. Right now, China is actually falling, they're actually having a decrease in children. And that's what they eliminated the ban. But anyway, what I'm getting
I thought
at
they just lifted the law of one child only.
They did. That's what I just said. They lifted the ban of only having one child, but that's because part of it is they need to have more people because there are far more men than women in China. So they now realize that they need to start making babies if they're going to keep their current populist leadership role, if you want to call it that.
You're talking about having enough young employees to replace the older retirees
Correct.
To support the Social Security system. But the thing is, we already know with AI and robotics, half of these jobs are going to be gone anyway. And to say, well, we need more workers, that's not an excuse to bring in people that aren't
they're
citizens
always,
and give them all the rights. What's the purpose of being a citizen if other people that aren't vote? Where does that reasoning come from? It's like someone moving into your house and going, okay, we want now part of your bank account. We want to, you know, drive your car. We want to use all your resources. And you would say, no, you don't. You're not part of the family. It's like I have right to where I own. I have walls. I have gates. I have locks to keep other people out. And you're saying, oh, no, we need more work. Just bring them all in. How is that going to help? How does it help our people?
Back in the 70s, 60s, and 70s, if you remember, we were all talking about how robots were going to take over and nobody was going to have a job. And in all actuality, when you're talking about life, things ebb and flow. Water reaches its own level. And so the loss of jobs in one industry will bring a rise in the gain of jobs for other industries. Nobody listening to all this bullshit and learning it back in the 60s and 70s, nobody had a computer. They didn't know that the internet was going to overtake almost everything with jobs except Walmart. So, you know, we're looking at the fact that something will always substitute for something else. And again, you're scared of your own shadow, and it's really sad. I feel so sorry for people who are just always scared. They just make me ill because there's no reason especially if you believe in God, but He'll take care of you no matter what.
Well, it's not being scared of one's shadow. I go to work, and trust me, like 90% of the people working, or maybe half of them, they're not documented. They're just over here illegally, and they don't care that much about America. And they're just here for the money to milk it.
Who's working them?
Sending money back to their country.
But who's
that's
who's,
right?
They're working here illegally, Jane.
Yes. And some of them.
I didn't say
office.
Nothing. I'm just saying they're sending money back to their country to help their families.
And that's not a good reason for them to be in the country working in the first place.
Well, George Bush was pro he signed a temporary bill letting people who are already working here stay.
Yeah, well, that's because, as I said, I gave my story. My part of my story is when I was a kid, I used to run down to National City in the morning, hang around San Diego all day, and then go back at night. And all I saw were Hispanics, trucks, buses, car loads full, coming over in the morning and then going back at night. It was, I'm talking about miles and miles and miles of trucks, cars, and buses bringing over migrants for hospitality.
Right. That was a long time ago, dude.
It's still happening. Oh, my God. You don't know.
Maybe they're
still happening.
Now they're just working here and they're staying.
Yeah, that's a change.
The point is, you've got to start wondering, what team are you playing for, Don? I'm for America. America first. And these other people can take care of their country and their own people. I mean, you're talking about, like, Zoom.
And some countries do, like Sweden.
Zoom laid off 15% of their force. Disney laying off 3% of their force. IBM's laying off. Apple's laying off. Everyone's laying off people. You think that people running across the border who can't speak English are going to be working at Apple or these other places? No, because the economy is shutting down because we spent too much money and we didn't build our own country up. And we're busy spending it over on Ukraine in a war we're not going to win. It has nothing to do with us. We'll let people cross our border. Millions. You know, we won't put $5 billion for our border. We're going to spend $85 billion put tanks and weapons and go over there and shoot them off at Russia. And you know what? We've depleted about 30% of our military arsenal. And that's the other thing is Putin's acting weak. But wait till the summer comes. Wait till spring comes. And then what are we going to do when we start? We can't replace these weapons very quickly. We don't have the money. We don't have the parts and things. We have to get to China and there's supply chain problems. So we're not looking big picture. Like soldiers, like military. Biden's looking at it like a politician. Just pass a bill and spend more money. And that's the vibe you're coming from. Yeah, just it's not a big deal, scared of my own shadow. No. This is a bad leverage. This isn't like 30 years ago. China isn't, you know, some little small economy. They're right behind us and they're gonna pass us up in the next couple of years. And you're going to watch the leverage. The screws are going to be tightened. And your kids are going to be jammed because they don't speak Chinese. And they
sound
like China's already going to beat us.
They are. Jane.
Headline.
Oh,
hello.
Oh,
70% of our stuff is made there. Yeah.
Don, it's not going to change your lifestyle.
Well, my lifestyle, because I'll be dead by then. But the bottom line is that they're, like I've said a million times too, we've got to, I mean, things change. We've got to have our leaders, our corporate leaders, everyone, teach everybody what they know. Because otherwise, people are going to still be left in the dark. We're going to have mental illness and people, you know, sitting on their butts, eating bonbons, collecting welfare, and no one is going to be in charge except those people who
I don't know anybody who does that.
Who? Everybody does it. Who do
not
you think,
me.
Who,
I have four jobs at age 62.
I know it, but you're an idiot. The bottom line, nobody has four jobs at the age of
I'm a rich
nobody.
Idiot.
That's fine. Nobody's complaining about it. And that's the whole. That's the other side of it.
My next destination is the West Coast. I'm going to rent an apartment with John.
We can't. Okay, people cannot complain or say anything bad about anything. Because this is the way God planned it. This is the way he made it. And the only way that we're going to change things is he helped us change it. And
you know what one of my Christian friends from Beverly Hills said today?
That
God's in charge of everything and he'll take care of us. Well, if I was living in the Ukraine, I wouldn't believe that.
Then Ukraine, like I said, those are brothers and sisters killing each other. You know, and who knows? You know, I if you believe the freaking Bible, you're
going to
be talking about the fact
that when God's second coming occurs, it's going to be a day of wrath.
Right,
we're in the church period. We're in a period of grace. But when the winds change and God's preparing to come back to earth like he has been in the near future, it's going to be a day of wrath. 2,300 people just died in Turkey in an earthquake and parts of Syria.
Right, and we're getting ready to lose a whole lot of people as the weather coming in from the south in Texas, Arkansas, Missouri. We're going to have a whole lot of people who are going to be under distress there. You know, if you believe in anything in the vibes I don't know if you want to call it voodoo or whatever, but you don't live in a place that has ghostly souls that are still living there. People who have not completed their life, and they're, you know, that's what this country, this whole world is all about. It's about lives, people of the living with people of the dead who are still in essence, and some people believe it because we're all energy, that's Buddhism and all that. We're energy, we're still alive once we're dead. So, you know, it's hard to live in a place with death, destruction, famine, pestilence, and that's what this whole world has been last, you know, the 160,000 years.
John, you think it's the end times, don't you?
Well, any time that you can control the whole world globally, economically, that pretty much fits the last times. It says that knowledge will increase in the last times. And we're seeing at this moment, everything we're saying is being recorded. Every move, I can step outside and I can be tracked by a satellite. So we're at a point of knowledge that is beyond even, like right now with chat, there's a chat site with AI. And what it does, it takes all the websites, all the social media, anything that you've done, your selections, your choices, your histories, it puts together a profile. So then when you say, I want to write an essay or a resume, it will write it for you. And it'll take all that information, and pretty soon it can just simulate you. And, you know, I can get Jane's information and just duplicate her and start to impersonate her, send her all over, you know, the country, get jobs, get credit applications. We're in a dangerous, dangerous time. You know, we're in mark of the beast time. And you're going to see, like, scriptures talk about earthquakes. Like, there's over 7,000 dead already in Turkey. Or in Syria and in Turkey.
Yeah, like the
there's
first day was 2,300.
No, that was
12,
the beginning. It's over 7,000. It's going to go up. There's 5,000 buildings collapsed. You know, just imagine how many people are in there. You're probably going to run into 100,000 or 200,000 by the time they finish counting.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah, it's biblical.
Well, the biggest. The biggest one was they had 23,000. Dead in the last earthquake.
You know what my philosophy
is?
There's the people who believe in pre-trib, mid-trib, and all the tribulation's going to come at the end. I think the tribulation has already started in certain parts of the earth.
Well,
we will have tribulation.
Well, like I said, when I do my traveling, I can tell the parts of the world, the parts of the country that are old, that are being that are getting ready to disintegrate, essentially. And a lot of those places are European. You know, like I said, Rome and some of Italy, they've been so militarized for so long that they're just tired. Same with parts of France. And luckily, France has the immigrants because it allows them to stay current, stay modern. Italy hates immigrants, and they do everything they can to keep them away, and they don't have that infusion of new ideas, new cultures, new blood, essentially. Europe and, you know, England is going to stay current with its infusion of immigrants, as will Germany. But then you've got some other countries that are going to start falling by the wayside because, their populations are dwindling because nobody's having sex. And so they're looking for fewer babies, and there's only one way to continue what's going on, and that's with immigrants, immigration. I don't know too many Americans who have been here for a while, Americans, who are going to go and cook and clean toilets and some of the other, be janitors. There's just not a whole lot of them available, especially when they can have jobs that have much higher pay and much higher imagery and responsibility in other people's eyes, keeping up with the Joneses.
Then there's parts of the world like Qatar that
They're expanding their immigration. They're bringing in all kinds of people.
There's a lot of African workers in Qatar.
Yep. And Qatar, again, like America and like the rest of the world, is asking for trouble. They're asking for problems. Because at some point, when those workers finish their work and don't want to go back home or can't go back home, then you've got a whole new demographic that you have to, in one way or another, and always.
Well, I think this is a good ending point for our show. So let's do our conclusions. Who wants to go first?
All right, I'll go first. I've been having a lot of meetings lately with some of our organizational partners here in Washoe County. All right, Jane?
It's hard to pronounce.
It's not Washoe.
Washoe! Washoe ass!
There you go. Now you got it. Man, that's the first time you let your soul come out. You've been a stuck up little beep. Anyway.
I've been low key today.
No, today.
Wash your ass.
Wash your ass. There you go. But a lot of meetings where our partners in the past, we've been trying to talk to them and make them understand certain cultural distinctions. And it's just coming to fruition, if you want to call it that. It's just coming about where people are starting to listen. They're starting to understand, or they're starting to realize that there are other people in other cultures who might make sense, who might actually have something positive to add to the community, to society, and to America. You know, the other thing that I've always said is that America is a disgrace, because you bring a whole shitload of people in the country to work.
And then you don't recognize them?
You don't work them. we're here to work, and yet we...
The Mexicans will find a way, even if they have to push burrito carts on the street.
But they'll do that, too. But the main thing about the Mexicans is that they're not working for the same pay. You know, their pay is going to be...
they don't care as long as they get something.
And they don't care
okay,
as
I'll
long
let
as
you finish
out.
Your conclusion.
As long as they get out of Mexico, that's all they care about. They don't give a shit how much they get paid. But, you know, the thing is that ultimately we're going to have to share our knowledge or else there's going to be a big schism between all of our cultures. And this is the short version because I forgot what I was going to say before. I was talking about something, and I forgot. When you said something.
Are you 67 now?
I'm 67 going on 68.
Your birthday's in June.
And in all actuality, I'm almost, I can almost say I'm almost as strong as ever. And that's saying a lot. Because there's a time that I was Superman, but except I shouldn't.
I'm coming out west this year.
Okay.
I almost applied for Social Security today.
Oh, okay. So you're going to make it because you can still work.
Because I can't find my way. I'm overcommitted. I have too many jobs. I have a hard time telling people no. So my only way out is Social Security, but I think I'm going to wait till I'm 63.
Okay, well, bottom line, you can wait till you're 62, and what you do is you can
I'm
still
already
work.
62.
You can work, yeah, but you can collect. But the thing, okay, you can still work. It's just that once you get to that 17.4, I believe, threshold right now, they might have upped it. But once you get there, they're going to keep one of your...
They're going to take one out of every $2.
One out of every $2, but you will get it back once you get to 70, 71 and a half, 70 and a half.
You do? You get it back?
Yes. The Social Security will... this is what I've inquired several times because I'm getting up there. And they should give my extra monies that I made that they took back.
Nice.
You know, you get, well, that's the whole point.
How much are
you
getting a month, if I might ask?
Me, 11. So that's because I'm not on disability or anything. That's what I put into
that's
the system.
That's not too bad.
On my many years of work. But, no, I mean.
You're getting disability?
No, Pat's on disability, so that's why we can make up anything extra we need. So that's up to 2,700 a month. But and then I work. So you know that fiscally and also physically, I'm pretty much in as good a shape as I've been in a long, long time.
That's because you walk house to house. I see your pictures. You're pretty lean.
Yeah, I'm walking 5 miles a day still just for my job, and that doesn't include my dance fitness and nutrition.
John's
business.
Walking a lot, too, at his construction job.
I know. I know. He's looking pretty good. My only problem is, what the fuck is he doing in his head? He needs to take more drugs.
No, he's not. He's drug-free Christian. You little shit. Okay, I'm going to let John do his conclusion while I retype the show description. Okay,
right,
so go ahead, John Yoder.
Well, my conclusion is that when a country leaves its faith in God, loses its faith, it's lost. When it loses its morality, it will collapse. And if anyone's watched the, just look at the Grammys YouTube, look at Sam Smith. He did a satanic performance, complete with bondage, sadomasochism.
Sam Smith.
Sam Smith. Sam Smith.
I know who he is.
And he won an award with Kim Petras, who's a transgender man, now a woman. Sam is gender confused, and they did their performance called Unholy. He came out with a hat that had devil horns on it. The stage was all in red with flames, and they had Kim was in a cage, and it was a satanic basically ritual. And this was the entertainment for the Grammys. We have lost it as a country.
And Madonna came out in a half man, half woman outfit.
Right. If she made a deal with the devil, the devil's collecting. That's all I can tell you about her appearance. But the point is, we've crossed that line officially where we're just morally bankrupt as a culture, as a civilization. And when that happens, the civilization will collapse, and we need to repent. We need to turn back to God. That's our only hope. And if we don't do that, you know, that's what made this country great. You can debate it any way you want, but those are the principles that when we were at our strongest and most innovative and most productive, and we've had it easy lately, and we're dying out of convenience. We've, you know, turned away from our faith. So, you know, I pray that just America repents. I pray that I repent. I pray that we all do and seek God.
It's
going to
take
like
God
Abraham
because our world is in pretty bad trouble.
God made the universe, so we need to
made it that way. So don't complain. It's our fault because of avarice.
We're not
greed.
The cause of Madonna and Lady Gaga acting like fools.
Sure,
they're
their
own idiots.
Because we give them the adulation. They don't think they have any
consequences.
I don't.
Or Britney Spears dancing half naked on Instagram.
Right, but I still haven't spent my money to see her, even though she's one of the loves of my life. But geez, I still haven't spent any money to see her. I would never spend money.
Well, she's gone downhill since she retired. I can tell you that much.
Well, all I know is that you put lipstick on a pig and it's still a pig, and you've got a whole lot of lipstick on a whole lot of people that can be construed as pigs. So, you know, I'm just looking at the reality of everything.
Check out my Instagram photos.
Yeah, well, I can't.
Let me know if I'm better looking than Kylie Jenner.
You might be. I'm not sure.
But I'm tired of all those women with lips. Like they have lip fillers.
Botox.
But it doesn't look good on Madonna, and really, it doesn't look that good on good on Kylie Jenner either.
All right,
here's my conclusion. I'm living halfway between two worlds, and I want to come to California 3 months out of the year. And I'm struggling in Duluth, even with all my jobs. I have money, but the climate's too much for me, but it's been 35 to 40 the last 2 days. So it's been awesome because the snow has been melting. So I need a way out, like Kevin Costner.
You don't need a way out. You need more discipline. You need more God. If you're living in a place where you are in all actuality succeeding.
I am.
I'm
going to be substitute teaching 3 days in the next 3 weeks. I could do it every day of the week, but it conflicts with my other job, so I chose not to.
Okay, well, bottom line is that if you're successful in a place, you should stay there.
I'll stay put for now. until Lorne gets out of the Army and decides what he wants to do.
You don't follow. He's not your husband.
I have the life of Riley in some ways. Like, the only person I have to worry about is myself.
And that's what's wrong with that.
Well, you know what? There's no men in Duluth that are sufficient, except for there's one really cute guy, but he's married.
Well, you pick him up from someplace else. I got so many quote-unquote friends or acquaintances or whatever who have picked their spouses up or their partners up off the Internet. It's not even funny.
I'm just not into that. I don't have time to date. I'm holding off on that. I'm trying to serve God.
Well, then that's your call.
But I'm cutting to one of John's songs now because I have to rewrite the whole intro. And I don't think, I honestly think Pianki's not calling anymore, but it's okay because he had his run. And it just seems that we can't get another host who's not frictional. So if I'm going to ever get a fourth host, it's going to be someone who's not so frictional.
Well, frictional is not, I mean, he just didn't acknowledge facts. That was the only thing that
he also wasn't religious, and I want a religious person on the show. This show is a ministry in a way. It's not just to analyze current events. We're supposed to be witnessing to people and talking about, you know, a higher way of existing. That's why we purge our fleshly desires. Anybody can have what they want in life. I could go find 4 internet boyfriends tonight, but I don't want them because, A, I'm trying to stay focused, B, I'm trying to finish my novel, and C, I have goals, which is I want to make money, I want to make this radio show good, and I want to prove that I can survive without my son, which I'm finding pretty hard to do.
That's what I'm saying. You might want to change your, you know, direction, deflect what you were thinking of, and come back out west, do your thing for a year or two.
And I did find a church in my neighborhood. I was just too tired to go today after I got my oil change. So,
those are the orders. Changing your oil.
Yep, I work 12. I work 12 to 14 hours a day, 5 days a week, and then 2 days I work about 5 to 6 hours.
And so you said screw church.
I didn't say that. I went to get an oil change. I was gonna go get a new pair of glasses, but I changed my mind, and I went home and took a nap and prepared for the show.
Okay,
pray for me, and I'm going to rewrite the show while I play Carry On. Everyone, have a great week, and I hope to see you soon. God bless you all. Good night.
Good night.
Waiting just for you.
That's an excellent song, John. Good night, John.
Good night, Jane.
Are you at the gym?
No, I'm about ready to check out at work.
Okay, well, have a safe drive home, and we'll talk on the weekend.
I'll try not to run anyone over.
If I move out there, will Ambrosia be upset?
Oh, you could be her new roommate.
No, I think I'm going to look for something more stable.
I think
but
you should.
Time will tell. Have a good one. I'll see you soon. I'm coming in March to visit.
Oh, really? Nice.
Right.
Well, it'll be nice weather.
If I change my name to Gutierrez, can I work at your construction site?
Oh, absolutely. But you'll need to get a little spray tan and maybe wear a wig, learn a little more Espanol.
Sí. Okay, have a great night, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Okie dokie, boy.